March is Women's History Month, and Paul Bunyan Broadcasting is teaming up with the United Way of Bemidji Area, Women United, and the Beltrami County Historical Society to celebrate the legendary women of Beltrami County. And that includes with the Living United podcast. This month, we'll have weekly podcasts featuring women who have made huge impacts in Beltrami County and the women who are making tomorrow's Beltrami County history today. The Legendary Women of Beltrami County is presented by First National Bank Bemidji and North Homes. And we will hear from the Legendary Women of Beltrami County next.
North Homes Children and Family Services is hiring afternoon and overnight youth counselors for a transitional residential program in Bemidji. This program helps young people gain the skills and resources needed to transition to independent living in a home-like setting. We offer generous benefits, PTO, and career advancement opportunities. Starting pay is $18.27 an hour, plus additional compensation for overnight and weekend shifts. Applicants must be 21 years of age or older to apply and have a Minnesota driver's license. Come grow with us and apply today. Visit northhomes.org.
Hi, I'm Danae Alamano, and this is Living United.
And I'm Kev Jackson. We continue our series on the legendary women of Beltrami County as part of Women's History Month that we're teaming up with the United Way, Women United, and the Beltrami County Historical Society. Danae Alamano, who is our latest legendary woman of Beltrami County?
We have Murr Gilman with us today, who is actually my advisor back at college at BSU. Welcome, Murr.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, obviously, you did an outstanding job of advising, as she is now one of the current women of making tomorrow's history today.
Exactly.
So good job there, Murr.
I just helped her. She's done amazing things.
Yes, she really has. Well, you have a personal connection with Murr, but what else you know about Murr makes her worthy of this honor? I know a lot of them, but I'll let you talk.
Sure. Well, Murr did a lot at BSU, so we'll hear more about that. Coach and Hall of Famer, Loop the Lake is another topic to talk about, and cross-country skiing in our area is another of her many. And I probably don't know half of what Murr's done in our community. But those were the highlights for us to say, yes, let's have an interview with Murr. So thanks for being here. Well,
thank you. That's an honor.
Well, let's go back to your beginnings. When did you come to Bemidji State University? And I'm guessing it was a lot different for women's athletics and women's activities than it is today.
Oh, yeah, very much so. I was hired in 1975. 3 years after Title IX was passed, and it was the funds for my position were based on a legislative appropriation for Title IX to bring women's sports, start to get them rolling up. And I came as an athletic trainer. It was 25% of my load, and then I taught. So then I stayed on staff until 2012.
Okay.
What were some of the first sports for women at BSU?
The first sports were basketball, field hockey, swimming. I know I'm going to miss some.
Sure.
And track and field and gymnastics. I think were the primary ones. And that was probably, they were there before I arrived. That was in the late 60s that they were starting that.
Okay.
So I was a newbie in 75.
So what all have you coached at Bemidji State?
Well, the only sport I coached was cross-country skiing.
Oh, okay.
I was the first women's athletic trainer at BSU, and I actually was one of the first 25 women certified as a certified athletic trainer in the country.
Wow.
And so BSU had a lot of foresight to hire a trainer with their appropriation, whereas other schools hired another coach, or in the state university system. And one bought a bus, which I didn't think was much foresight. But anyway, they hired me as their athletic trainer to take care of all the injuries and prevent injuries.
Were you a trainer across the board, or was for women's sports in particular?
I had the women alone by myself, but I was young. I was 25. I was right out of grad school, and I could rely on the men's trainer if I needed to get advice or help. Sure. But I had all the, I think, seven sports, and I had all of them. I worked 24, I felt like 24/7. So, yeah.
And you were the cross-country ski coach. Did you get that program started?
No, I wouldn't say I got it started. I got it handed to me when they went from a club sport to a varsity sport. And the student athletes had really developed their own club sport. And so it was one of those stories where it was a successful club sport. So they wanted to make it a varsity. And it was men and women.
Right.
So the men did not, well, yes, I coached varsity men and women.
Okay. And starting when?
In 1986, but then they dropped it in 1992. So I only had it for 6 years.
Okay.
But in your time at Bemidji, you have been very front and center and working to get people out and active and healthy. That's kind of been a passion of yours.
That is, yeah, I'd say it's a life mission, is to not people that are obsessed, or but just to get people active. Mm-hmm. So, and in particular, I've always wanted to make sure that women could be active, because when I was a little kid, somehow I must have been told that, no, girls don't do that. You know, like I wanted to play basketball like my brothers, and, well, girls don't do that. And so I just felt like, wow, you know, I missed it in high school. I missed it in college. I always wanted to be an athlete, because I think partly because I knew my parents would really like that, but it was not, the opportunities weren't there. So I've always wanted to see that girls and women could be active as well. And I think an example of my attempt to do that was, and might be faulty thinking, but I taught cross country ski lessons with our ski club for many years, and we had kids lessons, which I'm okay with kids, but I had adults hanging around my group of teenage boys and girls. And I said, you know, I think we need adult lessons because they want to learn too. And I felt like if we could get women skiing, they'd take their kids with them. In reality, I see dads on the ski trails with their kids as much as I do women. But
sure.
So we added adult lessons, and then I just checked the other day. I don't teach anymore. I'm obsessed with powder snow out west in the winter. But I just checked, and the adults made up a fourth to a third of our ski school population this last year for the ski club in Bemidji. So that's just one example. I want to make physical activity the easy choice, and that's not a term I canned. That was from the Blue Cross Blue Shield Be Well program. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if it's biking, if it's skiing, if it's walking, let's make it easy. Another thing that I feel really good about is that I kept lobbying on the ski club board to get a trail where we could take dogs.
As I said,
you know, I know people who've quit skiing because they can't take their dog, and they've gotten ticketed or yelled at for taking their dog on a trail. And when I go out west in the winter, most of the trails you can take your dog, and they can run loose. And, well, if your dog can go, you're going to go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely,
that's another way to make it possible for people to be active. And so Three Island has 10 kilometers of beautiful trail that where you can snowshoe, walk, fat tire bike, take your dog and ski. And it's okay. It's still groomed for skiing, and it gets used a lot. It got used before, but.
Well, I've talked to you, I've interviewed you about Sunday Ski School in the past, but tell us about Loop the Lake, another thing that you've been front and center with and is really now a huge early summer tradition in Bemidji.
Mm-hmm. I know. It's become a stressor. We wanted to, here's kind of how it went, and I'll take some credit. I just convene the group and lead them, and I'm retired and I can take on maybe more responsibility, but there's an awesome core group that has really put that whole Loop the Lake Festival together. But Blue Cross Blue Shield wanted to bring the Nice Ride bikes, but they wanted us to have an event. And so our bike group was sort of kicking that around, like, what kind of an event? And then we crafted our own event where I thought, we don't want to have a race. We don't want to have a 50-kilometer bike ride or 50-mile bike ride. That's not how you get people to be active. Let's make it doable. So the food stops and the rest stops with music, they allow people to kind of go their own pace. Mm-hmm. And there's no race. There's no timing. There's I convene the group and I keep it rolling. And sometimes it's like pulling teeth a little bit to get volunteer, you know. But like I said, we have a big core, not a big core, about a 10 people that really have made that go. And I just happen to be the face of it. That's all.
Okay.
I keep hearing you as you talk about the things you've done. You just continually remove barriers and so people can be active. And think about even you saying, you know, at some point you must have been told girls don't do that. And I love the thought of just the trailblazing you've done for me in that I grew up, I could do anything. I've never been told that, you know, from my parents or the people that mattered, I could always do it because of trailblazers like Murr.
Well, it's interesting because I can't figure out exactly where that came from. It wasn't my dad.
Sure.
But I do remember my dad putting me to bed one night. I had to be younger than 4 because it was a house that they were renting before we had our house. And he said, well, what do you wish for tonight? And I said, well, in the morning I want to wake up and be a boy. And it wasn't transgender. It wasn't anything like that. It was just like, I want to be able to do what my brothers do. Mm. I don't want, and I don't know, my mom might have been the one who said, well, girls don't do that. But she was active. She was an athlete. Mm. So it probably came from the community or something.
Sure, because it has changed, obviously. The dynamics have changed.
But oh,
it's neat to hear you say all this, because for me, I got to benefit from all that. Thank you.
Well, I did what I could. I played golf, and I played in state, like, junior girls tournaments. I was a decent golfer. And my dad was into canoe racing. So he got me involved in a mixed doubles. And so I had this... I had a guy that was my partner for canoe racing. That was my first real competitive, like, breathless, sick to my stomach. We work so hard, you know, and trying to, I was telling someone the other day, I can't do a tour because when the gun goes off, my tunnel vision says, get to the finish line first. And that's how I grew up. Canoeing was like, you just beat that paddle on the water and, you know, anyway. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, we talked about, when you got to Bemidji State, but where are you from originally and how did you find your way to Bemidji State?
Yeah, I grew up in Glenwood, Minnesota, central Minnesota on Lake Minnewaska. And that, you know, it was a small town. I alpine skied. I started, my dad took me out to our local ski hill. I mean, I would go take these little skis and go down the hill in our backyard, and then he took me out there one day, and I don't know what he did all afternoon. He took me to the top, or he didn't. He had a high school kid take me. My skis just had those toe straps, and this high school kid took me to the top, of the tow rope between his legs and dropped me off. And then I proceeded to try to get down that hill all day. My dad never came out and looked for me. I don't know what he was talking to his friends or whatever. But anyway, that was Glenwood. We had big hills, and it was it's a really cool town to grow up in, but not progressive. I mean, a couple of my friends and I played golf, and we went to the golf coach, and I might have been in ninth grade or something, and we said, well, we want to play on the team because we would have been in the top 10 probably of the boys. And he said, well, no, girls can't do that. And what do? We turn around and walk away. And thankfully, some girls didn't put up with that, their parents, and they fought for Title IX and for the high school sports. So, and then from there, I went to McAllister College. It was a family school, and my dad and my brothers were there, had been there, and I tried to play tennis, I tried to swim, tried a little golf, and nothing. I mean, we didn't have sport. They got it after I left, and so that was kind of my. But I got interested at Mac in athletic training. I had a class, and I really liked it. And I had a professor that was just a super good mentor. So, and I got a teaching degree in physical education. And then I decided I wanted to go to Europe for a year, and I went to Switzerland and skied in the mountains and just worked a menial job, you know, and then I came back, and that was enough. Like, okay, I need to make something with my life. I can't just be a ski bum. And so I got a teaching job, but I only did that 1 year, and then they'd opened up athletic training programs to women, and my mentor at McAllister told me about it, and I applied in 1 year and got my athletic training certification, came to Bemidji State, and I was 25.
Wow.
All right. So... Now, Danae, you mentioned how she was an influence on you as your as your advisor, but think about your other contemporaries and Murr Gilman and what she did for BSU in general and women at BSU in general. What are your thoughts?
That's a loaded question.
Well, good.
Well, I'm.
I'll just sit back and listen.
Yeah, I'm sitting here too.
Well, there's. I think there's just pillars of people. I mean, in every. Probably decade of BSU students have their pillars, and Murr was one of those when I was there. You know, you can still see people from college, and we still will talk about Murr. Actually, my husband talked about you just last night. He is a goalie, and he's the most inflexible person you'd ever meet. And he was just talking about, Murr made me be an example, and I can't bend my wrist. You know, it's just that she becomes a part of your whole story, right? Like, it just becomes someone naturally that's talked about because it was such a, she's such an influence on the people that were in her program.
So, okay. Mm-hmm. Two things about Murr that I really want to get a couple of answers to before we wrap it up. You are big. And everybody knows she's big in maple syruping.
Oh, yes.
So it's about that time, right?
It is just about that time.
Okay.
And, I somehow got in, well, I know how I got into it with Bob Montebello, but then I've taken it to the next level. And
like she does with everything.
Yeah, kind of. Well, I'm pretty confident in the things that I know I want to do, and then I just work at those. And there are other things I don't do. it's just about time, and we tap about 125 trees, and we're still, I say we, Donna Palavec and I, and we carry our sap around in buckets by hand. I know there's a...
Wow,
a side-by-side four-wheeler with tracks in my future sometime because I can't see doing that when I'm 80. But maybe, you know, I don't know. We have a pretty small area where we have great concentration of trees. So, and I try to get people involved in it. You didn't ask me this question, but I think that when I get excited about something, I'm pretty good at getting other people excited about it because I'm really excited about it. and then I was fortunate enough to have a good job and a good retirement, so I've been able to buy things that I want to buy to make maple syruping more than a pan on a cinder block wood fire. And that's been fun. And people want to see what we're doing, they're more than welcome to come out.
Hmm. Yeah. And you're a brewer, too.
I do brew. Mm-hmm. And I had a little, a little chink in my armor last fall. I was diagnosed with celiac disease, which if you know a brewer and they like malty beers and grains, it really it threw a loop at me for a while because I have to change what I brew with, and I can't have gluten. I'm starting over on brewing. But I'm not going to give up. I like beer, and I like the brew club, and I like the camaraderie. And I think that I always take beer to our neighborhood picnic. And my take on it is I have a wooden kegerator that has insulation, and it's just a homemade jobby. But we put the cups on there, and there are a couple taps. And it's really neat how to see people walk up to that, and then they start visiting with someone else who's grabbing some beer. And then pretty soon there's like six people hanging around. And it's not to drink the beer. It's because it's a really good social. I'm not encouraging alcohol use, but I think that beer is something that kind of makes people social. I mean, just the concept of the beverage. It could be wine club, too, but beer is more common. Mm-hmm. So, I'm still brewing, and I'm coming up on, I surpassed 400 batches last fall.
Wow.
Wow.
In my, however, 15 years, I think. And now I'll slow down a little bit, probably. And I'm still brewing. Mm-hmm. And it's just like maple syrup. If I can afford it, I'm going to buy it. And I like my nice equipment. And I take flack for that. That's just, those are my choices.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's great.
Well, before we wrap it up, any thoughts that you'd like to share with the next generation of women coming up?
Yeah. I think that giving back is really important. And I'd have to say that I have to give back in my own way, and it's not the same as some of your other women on this podcast series, I'm sure. And but I like to share, and I think that I've had a pretty, like my folks helped me with education, that was important to them, and my grandma thought education, it's like, okay, I got handed all this stuff. And I can give something back and share what I know and encourage people to have fun and be healthy. So I guess my advice would be, find something where you can give back, because I just saw this in the paper. People who volunteer get more out of it than they put into it.
Mm-hmm. See that a lot. It's really makes my job really fun.
Yeah.
Well, this is like today's In Paradise this month.
She's
just
loving
been gaga about everybody who's been in for these interviews. You're another one.
Yeah, you are.
So, well, Danae, we get to talk to somebody else down the road, but we want to thank you, Murph, for taking the time and sharing your story with us as part of the Legendary Women of Beltrami County.
Well, thank you, and it's an honor to be a part of it.
When we return, Danae Alamano will introduce yet another legendary woman of Beltrami County, one who is just starting to make her impact on the community. It's the Legendary Women of Beltrami County all month during Women's History Month on the Living United podcast.
Can I list all the things you can do with First National Bank Bemidji Digital Banking in 30 seconds? Send money via email, transfer cash to a phone, to anyone, anywhere, whether you're out or at home. Your card gets lost? Not to worry. Turn it off from your phone. Do it in a hurry. Found it already? That was quick. Turn it on again with just one click. Control your teen spending. Limit when, where, how. It's all quick and simple. You can start using it now. See for yourself what digital banking can do. First National Bank Bemidji. Member FDIC. Phew.
It's Women's History Month, and we are celebrating the legendary women of Beltrami County, presented by First National Bank Bemidji and North Homes. And Danae,
We have yet another legendary woman of Beltrami County, so tell us all about her.
Yeah, I'm excited too because I can call her my friend. But Jackie Stoffel is with us. Jackie, you have to tell us what your title is outside of being a PE teacher at the high school.
Yes, so I teach at the high school, and I also, we started implementing Unified Champion Schools, and in the last 2 years, we added our district-wide. So, and then I became the coordinator of the Unified Champion Schools for the district.
Awesome. So what is that for those who don't know what Unified is? Tell us about that.
Yeah, so Unified is a program through Special Olympics Minnesota. And it's for students with and without disabilities. So when Special Olympics originally started, it was for just individuals with intellectual disabilities. And I think, you know, over time they thought, well, we're asking everybody to be inclusive. And so we have this organization that's just for individuals with intellectual disabilities. So we want to bring people in. And with that, then they created the Unified Champion Schools program. So schools can get that inclusive environment. And so it's made up of three pillars. It has unified sports, whole school engagement, and inclusive youth leadership. Hmm. And although, you know, we often focus on the unified sports piece because it's a really fun piece of the puzzle. And but there are other opportunities that come within it when your district or your school becomes a unified champion school.
Hmm. Okay. And so that's part of the Special Olympics, because prior to that, Special Olympics pretty much operated as its own entity, and I think in some ways still does, correct?
Yeah, they are their organization, and then this is one piece that they've added recently for schools to implement. But it really just provides us teachers a way to teach students together. So, and it gives them a little more of an authentic way to build relationships.
Is this a requirement of schools, or is this something that you could decide, our district could decide if they wanted to have it or not?
Yeah, so it's not a requirement by any means. It's one person within the school. So it really doesn't even have to be a FIED teacher that starts this program. Unified PE is part of it. But you don't have to teach adaptive PE to teach unified PE. So some other schools have paras that started. They'll have teachers or an admin might be interested, or it just has to take one liaison from the school that is interested in the programming and is willing to kind of get it up and running at their school. So I would recommend any school do it because there's just so many benefits that come along with it. But no, it's not required by any means.
And so you started this?
Yeah, so we started this. We were, when I came,
I like how she says "we." By the way, yeah. You can tell she just knows how to be on a team.
Yeah.
When I came, it was started. So Donna Walachek had an awesome program. So FIA teacher before me, Donna Walachek, she was amazing, and she had the kids all did Special Olympics. They all were in these programming. So they had things that were available to them. And then shortly after I got there, we started piloting some where partners would come with us. So in the world of Special Olympics, when I say athlete, that means our individuals with disabilities. Our unified partners are our non-disabled peers that come in and participate. So she had that all set up. And so it was a pretty easy transition from there where we could bring in these partners. And then it took about a year to get it. You know, there's so many hoops to jump through of introducing a new class and getting all the funding and things like that. So, we got it up and running, and it was just kind of baby steps each way. So we're on our sixth, seventh year.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So in addition to the obvious positives for the athletes, for the partners and the others involved, what are some of the great things you see there?
Yeah, so very often when people talk to me about the program, the first thing they always say is, this program is so amazing for students with disabilities. This is awesome. They're being included in things. They're getting all these opportunities, leadership opportunities, and it is really good for them. It is amazing for them. But it is just as important for the students without disabilities. In education, everything is very busy, and we focus on the academics and the outcomes. But trying to teach the whole student, this program really provides an authentic way for us to teach about being caring, being inclusive, having compassion, having empathy, what that means, what that looks like, and not just talking to them and telling them, like, you need to be nice. Well, you know, like, it's easy to say, you need to be nice. Well, what does that look like? What do I need to do? And how am I going to do it? It seems like such an easy thing to just tell kids, like, you need to be a kind person. But this program really provides a way for them to practice it and to navigate through some of the challenges of being around somebody that's not the same as you, because that's reality. That's life. We are not all the same. We don't all agree. We all have different challenges. And so that they have it, you know, the Unified PE class, they have it every day. And often when they take that class, they start to join the other things, the Unified Sports, the Unified Club, all these other things that are provided outside of that.
And is this at every school or just at the high school? How does that work?
It started at the high school. So when we started about 6-7 years ago, it started at the high school. And then we're on our second year where we got funding from the state, from Special Olympics. And I went to them and I said, you know, we want to implement this in elementaries. And elementaries are naturally more inclusive. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's when we hit that middle school age that we the ability levels in academics and it starts to divide a little bit more. And so the paths kind of split. And so bringing those back together. But we got the 2-year funding from them for becoming the first district in the state of Minnesota that went unified. Mm-hmm. And so we got some funding with the agreement that we create a sustainability plan. So that's the gala coming up here in April. So right now we're currently, all of our schools in the district are unified at some level. Mm-hmm. So there's different options they can choose from, and they just try to pick one from each category. So that unified sports, unified inclusive leadership, and the whole school engagement, they just have to do one. Okay. And so, you know, the high school does almost everything. They do almost everything that's offered. The middle school does a lot. The elementaries, they do a lot of the sports. And some of the programming at the elementary is a little more passive programming, like the kindness posters. Mm. We've had the high school go in and read to the elementary students for inclusive books and disability awareness. Mm. And they got a lot of questions. You know, they're curious. And so we actually talk about that with the high school kids, with our kids with disabilities, to say, hey, these kids are going to have questions mm-hmm. that might make you feel just a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, sad, because they're not trying to be mean, but kids are curious and mm-hmm. they want to know. And I think often one thing we explain to our kids is, you know, when we walk through a grocery store and we see somebody that's different than us, a lot of parents will kind of shy the other way, because not because they want to be mean, but because they don't want their kid to say something that would hurt the other person's mm-hmm. feelings. And mm-hmm. so I think teaching little kids how to ask nice, good questions. These are good questions. And how to answer them. I tell my kids in Unify, so you're going to be able to answer these questions for your kids very easily, because you've had all this kind of training.
Yeah.
So it's if we're not around people that have differences or disabilities, it is hard to answer some of those questions. So, yeah, going back, I kind of got off track there, but going back to that, we do have it at all levels, mm-hmm. and it's kind of growing. I think it'll continue to grow.
That's neat. I know my oldest, I asked that because my oldest was asked if he wanted to be part of Unified, and I really enjoyed that at the elementary yeah. level. So I figured it had to be across the whole gamut, knowing you too.
Yeah. It's leaking into community too. So we're starting the first ever young athletes camp for community ed. So that'll be nice. Talking to a lot of parents, I always pick parents' brains, and I'm like, what's been good experience and what's been a bad experience? Because mm-hmm. I don't have a child with a disability. I can, working with kids with disabilities, I can maybe guess, but I really don't know from a parent perspective. And so I do ask questions, and they're just the opportunities. There's not as many opportunities. So we are hosting the first young athletes camp, and I think just providing more opportunities outside of school that are inclusive for kids to participate in, it will be fun.
Well, and you've even expanded now. You talked briefly, you got to give us the time and day of the gala, the Unified Gala for the Community, along with a really successful and fun basketball game.
So yes. Share both of those. Yes, we had our first ever Unified basketball game, and it was just a blast.
It was amazing.
Packed house.
It was super fun. Our kids had a blast. Our student body had a really good time. A lot of people said they're like, I was crying. I was smiling the whole time. My face hurt, but I was kind of crying. And it was a really good feel-good thing. I think life is tough sometimes, and I think going to something that is just uplifting is really fun, and I think it seemed like the community had a good time coming in with that, and that kind of pulls in that whole school engagement or whole campus engagement is sometimes what they call it, where it kind of brings in the community as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it was great. I loved it for a couple of different reasons. Obviously, it made me proud of Bemidji, but I know Isaiah Hahn really well too. Interview him on the fishing show all the time. And of course he's been involved with them, taking them on fishing trips and basketball coach there. So just all the way around, I was just really proud of a lot of people I know.
Yeah. Isaiah does an amazing job over at Monaga. When we first started to say like, it would be awesome because how it happened is we went down to the state tournament last year and these schools all were close, and so they got buses of people. We're at the Target Center, and they got this whole sections filled up with students, and Bemidji had a little section of it. It was like, oh. I'm like, how do we create this environment for our kids? Well, we've got to do it in our hometown. It's such a long drive to go down to the Target Center. And so I called Isaiah up, and I'm like, can you make this happen with me? Can you bring your team? And there's a lot of, organizing of getting all the parents on board. And so he was awesome. He just made it happen. They actually, their basketball teams came up and called our athletic director, and they practiced over at Gene Dillon so they could come right to the game. And so it was, they did an awesome job, and it was fun to have them here.
Okay. And then the gala, tell us about that. Or gala.
Yeah. So
depending
we,
on who you are.
I know. I think, it just depends on the person. We have the Unified Gala on April 29th, Saturday, April 29th, and it'll be at the Sanford Center. And this will help fund our program moving forward. We needed a way that could bring the community together, too. And so we were like, well, let's throw a big event and have a good time while we do it. And tickets are at sale right now at First National and Affinity. I did just meet with the Sanford Center, though, and they're like, you can't add any more tables. You're done. And I was like,
that's a great problem.
It's a great problem to have. But I was like, okay, so I can't sell the rest of these tables. They're like, no. So if you want your ticket, I would go get your ticket soon. But it will be a fun event. Our students will actually be there working games, and they'll just be like, high or lower, some fun games where then you can win tickets and put them in prizes. And, but it'll be a great way for after having the basketball game and people feeling kind of what I get to feel most days. Don't get me wrong. There are some challenges with my job. But that uplifting feeling that you felt at the game, you'll feel at the gala. There will be kids there working. And we'll be able to socialize with the kids and see their personalities and all that type of stuff. So we were excited to kind of take the lakeside room and just make it an area for the kids, and people can go and play the games and socialize with the kids and get to know them a little bit. But it'll be a fun event. And we got a DJ because people like to dance. we have some of our alumni Special Olympic athletes coming back to the gala, and so it should be a really fun environment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Jackie's made a big impact here, but these things don't happen in a vacuum.
Mm-mm.
And you've known Jackie for a long time, so tell us, Danae, about some of the other things Jackie has done over the years.
Way back when we had classes together, she's always like the standout. So none of it's surprising that she's standing out in what she's doing. But I met you when you played hockey for the Beavers.
Yeah, it feels like forever ago.
I think I was, we would only cross paths for a little bit in that time frame.
Yeah.
But What years were you at BSU?
06 to 10, I played. And then I was there until 11.
Sure.
Yeah, student teaching and all that stuff. But those were the years that I played.
Right out of college, did you start teaching?
Yeah, student teaching that fifth year. Mm-hmm. And then applied, and I ended up getting a position over at Northern Elementary. So I worked there for 4 years before I moved over to the high school.
Awesome. And you have to tell us, we think we're correct in making the statement that you were the first woman to be the head coach of the girls hockey team at the high school.
Yeah, I don't know if that's 100% true, but it could be.
Yeah. We made that statement, yeah. Not Jackie, yes. By yeah. the way. If we're wrong, that's on Kevin.
It's on us,
yeah. Yeah, so that was fun, coaching sports. I'm actually just slowly getting back into youth hockey a little bit because I've got a six-year-old daughter that's enjoying it. So, yeah, getting back into that world a little bit.
And you started a program, I remember, when we moved to Orlando and I moved back here, Little Lady Lumberjacks. Can you just share more about
yeah,
what you did there?
Yeah, started that up when I was coaching the high school team, wanting to build some numbers and wanted to make something fun, mm-hmm. for kids, little girls. It was for 3 to 10-year-olds, and it was just, you know, more of a relaxed way where they can just get out on the ice and play. And, you know, I think that it's just even just learning how to skate in general, even if they didn't keep going to play hockey, just learning how to skate and have that, we're in northern Minnesota, mm-hmm. have that skill. And it was cute there. I mean, some of them were just little peanuts, but yeah.
It's pretty amazing. I mean, and now you look at the girls' numbers. They're growing faster than the boys. And when you think about that, had an effect on all of that, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and the girls' teams are doing amazing right now. And that helps, too. They're fun, mm-hmm. to watch. And they've had a lot of success this season. So I think that brings another level of excitement, mm-hmm. To a sport.
Definitely.
So how did you find your way to Bemidji? Where do you come from? How did you become the person you
yes.
are today?
I went to high school at Sault Ste. Paul, and I grew up in Evergrove, and I came up here to play hockey. Mm-hmm. It was here or Mankato, and you know, a lot of my former teammates went there, and I remember coming up to Bemidji for the first time from the cities, and I was like, this feels smaller, and it's grown a lot since we've gone to college here. It's mm-hmm. grown a ton, and there's so much more here. But I do remember the first time I was like, all right, I don't fish or I don't hunt, but we're going to do this. and I love it now. I couldn't imagine living in the cities now. So it all worked out.
Mm-hmm. And you married a BSU alum as well.
I did. Yes, I did. Football player, and I get to work with him every day. He jokes that he wakes up and I'm there, goes to work and I'm there, I go, oh, she's there. So he always jokes about that. But yeah, I was working at Northern, and the summer we were getting married, I got a phone call, and they're like, would you like to move to high school? And we just looked at each other, we're like, is that a good idea or not? Oh, it's good or bad. What do we do? And I wouldn't trade it. He's so easy to work with and fun to work. Well, you know him.
He's, yes, yeah. Brian.
Brian, he's entertaining. And so things are never dull. It's always fun. So
that's great.
Yeah, he makes work fun.
So. Do you share your insights with him about the football team, and does he listen?
I know absolutely nothing about football.
That's probably good, I guess.
It's good. You know, actually, so when, not so much anymore, but a couple years back, he was working on, I probably don't even know what I'm talking about, but working on something where plays are called a certain state or a certain something, and he's working on all these things. And he sat me down. He's like, okay, if I can teach you this, I can teach any kid this. And I was like, wow.
Thank you.
Thank you? So I was kind of his guinea pig for a while. And if he could teach me something about football plays, he's like, I can teach any kid this. So that yeah, that's how much I know about football, and I think that's probably for the better.
Well, and not even that you just you two work at the high school. He's also a PE teacher.
Yes, yeah. he's also a PE teacher. So there are often times that we'll team teach.
Oh, that's great.
Like, should we teach together today? And so when it actually came down to the back to the unified program, it took us a year to implement or get the into the course guides. So I just looked at him. I said, I don't want to wait a year. Mm-hmm. I'm like, if you want your laundry done, we're going to pilot this program with one of your ninth grade classes and my Dave class. He's like, okay. So he helped me pilot the program so we could test it out before it was in the course guide. And so once it was in the course guide, it was up and running from there. So he's helped me a lot with the unified program. Just listening to everything I have to say about it. He has to listen to me at work. He has to listen to me at home. But even just running, I'm like, I need donuts for our club meeting. And he's doing it. He's coaching the basketball team because I was a hockey player.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
different.
the first year we were, they started the state tournament and we could make a team. I said, I really want to make this team. This sounds so fun. I don't know a lot about basketball. Can you coach the team? And essentially I'm like the manager.
Sure.
So I got great manager skills. I cheer loud. And I manage the team, and he does all the coaching.
That's
so
really neat.
This year they threw in multiple plays, and it was the kids loved it. And so he does all that. I don't do that.
She was wondering why they never make a line change.
Well, these two are like one of those power couples.
Yeah.
And
I
mean, Bemidji.
Step aside.
Right. I think Bemidji should thank me for this because I take credit in them ever dating.
Yes.
So there's that.
Big influence.
Oh, Jackie, you do so many wonderful things. I love how you talk about them, too, because you say we a lot, and you are really inclusive in everything, literally, that you do. We see you as a future woman of history for our community.
Well, thank you very much.
Sure. So is this, I mean, this unified program, is this just something you stumbled onto? Is this something that growing up, what gives you that go for something like this?
My mom had a cousin who had has a disability, and I remember growing up around him, and I did remember how people would look at him and not be patient when he talked, because it took a little bit longer to say the things he needed to say. And but I really didn't, you know, going through college and think about it much. We did a little bit of volunteering at our high school hockey team for Special Olympics floor hockey, and I just remember having a really good time. And then when I actually went to school to be a health teacher. I really wanted to be a health teacher. And then I ended up getting Phi Ed. And then I saw DAEP, and I was like, well, I remember. It's like Special Olympics was really fun. It's got to be similar to that. And then once we were in school teaching the DAEP program and seeing when we first started bringing students in, it just changed the whole dynamic of the class. It was easier in almost every way. There's hard, you know, everything has its positive, everything has its negatives, but it's hard to find negatives about this. There are, you know, some, but like it's hard to find that much that's negative. So it's been such an impact on me as a teacher to have this programming. But I just made a call to the state office when we first started bringing kids over, and I said, I see this Unified Champion Schools. What is it? What does it all entail? What are you going to help me with?
Yeah.
You know, like, we're already starting to do this, but what do you guys have that's going to make this easier and make this process easier? And Special Olympics is amazing. Mm-hmm. So supportive. We actually are very lucky because we have Shannon Murray right here in Bemidji, and she's the northern rep for the northern part of the state for the Unified Champion Schools program. So they have an employee right here in Bemidji for Special Olympics Minnesota. And
that's huge.
Have her personal number, and I feel like I talk to her more than I talk to anyone else. And so Special Olympics is amazing, and what they provide, you know, communities outside of just their organization, just all the things that they do.
Well, Danae, had a great conversation today. We got many more wonderful women we're going to be hearing from through the month of March, right?
We do.
All right. So, Jackie, thank you for all you are doing. Thank you for making a big impact in our community, and thanks for telling us about it today.
Yeah, thank you for having me here today. It was an honor to be here.
It's Living United, the legendary women of Beltrami County, and it's presented by First National Bank Bemidji and North Homes Children and Family Services. And Danae, we will talk to you next time.
Thank you.